Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen.
Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think.
104.7 Triple M.
Wow, a fair bit of work's gone into a new opener there. Would you have to pay Pauline Hanson royalties or what?
Someone had a quiet Father's Day, didn't they?
Gee whiz. Someone's bored.
Bloody hell.
How are you, Ruth?
I'm good, thank you.
How was your Father's Day?
Not bad, actually. Yeah, had got six $5 presents from the kids at school.
Right. So do the kids still make cards like they used to?
Yeah, I remember they make cards.
When I was a kid, I had to
best
make
dad
mum.
Best dad in the world.
Best dad, all that stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah. Got an apron with a bottle opener on it, which was pretty cool. Nick was very proud of that. And nothing much else. Didn't even get anything from the wife. And did I milk it yesterday?
Really?
All day.
Really?
Yeah, but she owes me plenty. I did let her know that at the end of the day. But how'd you go? Did you have a good one?
Actually, we did this escape hunt, it's called, last night. So my sons and their girlfriends and Kate and I went to this place where it's like a murder mystery. And you're locked in a room and there's all these clues and you got to work your way out. And fair to say, we're lucky to be here. we couldn't get out.
You couldn't get out. You let us for clues.
Yeah, no, we did. But even with that, it was funny though. It's good. It's like a team building thing.
It was different, good. Isn't it?
Yeah, because you said you've done it.
Yeah, me and Tex did it with Revolution Roofing about a month ago with a heap of customers, and we had a bit of a fun day.
Yeah,
of course I beat Tex just to throw that in.
Yeah.
Tex was, we had to let him out, otherwise he couldn't play on the weekend. We had to let him out.
A couple of Einsteins there.
Yeah, I went up the Barossa, so I haven't been out of the city since June. And I couldn't believe how green it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there are other people out there and everything,
aren't
there?
No, the crops and everything did, so I hadn't left the city, but beautiful up the Barossa. Went up there for lunch, so had a good day.
Plenty to talk about today, Roo. First day, we're a bit premature. We went down to the new RA a couple of months ago.
I'm not copping weed, Dits. You wanted to go to the hospital.
All right. Well, anyway, today it all happens, apparently. So we'll
believe
head down there.
I see it.
We'll go down this morning and see what's happening. We've got Don
Pike. They got
the
signs up yet?
I hope so. Because when I drove past recently, there was no entrance, exit.
You didn't know where
nothing.
To drive.
Where's emergency? Mm. All of that stuff.
Surely they've done that.
Hope so.
Yep.
Don Pike's going to join us. Gee, what a week. What a build-up. Two big finals in Adelaide this week, Roo.
Pressure's on. Time to deliver.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm sure they're all ready to get stuck into it. I'm sure all the supporters are ready to watch a bit of footy after that. A few games of footy over the weekend, a bit of different
Mickey
stuff.
Mouse.
Bit of Mickey Mouse and a bit of women's footy, and the Real McCoy cranks up on Thursday night.
Now, Roo, can I ask about the crowd? Any idea what is Port Adelaide sold out yet? Do you know?
No, I haven't checked.
Other games are sold out. You haven't checked?
No,
just wondering if there are tickets left, because on Wednesday coming up here, we're going to have all sorts of giveaways, aren't we?
Yeah, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're going to give away tickets. If anyone gets through to by ring 1-333-53, you get a choice of Crows or Port tickets, even to the sellout Crows game. So we're going to give away more tickets than any other radio station, whether it's through breakfast, afternoon, during the day.
Yep.
So if you haven't got tickets or you can't afford it, stay with us or we'll get set to take a sickie on Wednesday.
Yeah, Ruined It's here on this Monday morning. Hey, just quickly too, really, it's going to be a bit of a cold week, isn't it?
Weather's
not looking great.
Yeah, a bit of rain around all week. Overcast, about 15 for most of the week, 16. Yeah.
All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, what's making news around the place? Can I start with this one?
Yep.
A lot of people listening of my age, roughly, would be big fans of this.
Ricky, don't lose that number. It's the only one you want.
Steely Dan, one of the co-founders, Walter Becker, has died over the weekend in New York.
Good old Chance.
Now, do you know any of these songs?
Yeah, I've heard those too. Yeah, definitely.
67 years of age. So they're a little bit different, a bit
67.
Quirky.
67.
But they
what happened?
Don't know. I haven't seen the reports yet. But, yeah, he passed away over the weekend. It's a bit sad that now all of those bands that we grew up with, I guess they are all aging now, aren't they?
Absolutely.
We know that the Rolling Stones are in their 70s and whatever. And, yeah, it's sad that we're going to start losing some of these great people. We lost David Bowie last year. And,
yep. Some interesting stuff come out about him that you can't talk about on radio.
Who, David Bowie?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me during the outbreak. Yeah, I love David Bowie.
Well.
All right. Steely Dan, one of the first... what could I say? Double entendre sort of names. Is that the right terminology?
Double entendre. Oh, that's a bit hard for a Monday morning.
Hidden meaning, double meaning. I won't elaborate, but Steely Dan, Thin Lizzy, that was another one. 10cc was another one. They're sort of kind of rude names.
Right.
They're a little bit rude.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you have to read between the lines and work out what they mean.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hey, Bernard Tomic, thought he'd celebrate getting knocked out in the first round with threw a bit of a party for his mates in Adelaide. And
In Adelaide?
In Australia, in Melbourne, I think it was. First Australian to spend a package that you can buy at a certain nightclub.
Yeah.
You can buy I think it was 20 mates, don't quote me on that number, but a 50,000 buck package.
Oh, 50 grand.
At a nightclub. I mean,
have you got the name of the joint?
Helicopter rides and all this sort of stuff. But splashed out 50K and said, oh, look, I know it sounds like a lot of money for a lot of people, and it is, but I can afford it. So went out and had a bit of a night on the town. So
he would have made a loss on his check from the first round then of the US Open.
I don't know what they get for it, but splash the cash. He's certainly not going to be in tight ass.
What do you
Tuesday.
Get for 50 grand, do you think?
Well, I think you get absolutely everything you want, including helicopter rides.
Because I was wrapped that other day when I went to the Alma, the $120 all I could drink package, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah,
at
well,
the Alma.
Exactly.
50 grand.
Right.
You gave us, you know, nuts and chips as well.
Yeah, no, we threw in everything for you and a lift home. Old Bernie doesn't mind splashing his cash, having a bit of fun.
50 grand.
Yeah. It's a lot of money, isn't it, for a night out? But
have you thought of contacting him, having his next party at your place?
Yeah, exactly. You'd make a few dollars out of that.
You can do it for half that.
You'd make a few dollars out of that one, Bernie.
And what about the furore over the footy show, which I know, you know, we've talked in recent times. It's probably off the boil a bit. I haven't watched it for a long, long time. But there was an era where it was must-see TV, wasn't
Huge.
It?
Huge. This song's been used from day one, but from 94 to 97, I think they had to get yearly... they had to put in requests each year to use it. And then after that, Channel 9 thought they didn't have to anymore. So it's been used without consent for 20 years. But you'd wonder why it's taken so long for them to whinge about
it. So the co-writer of it's actually a lawyer, and he's now taking them to court over royalties.
Trying to get a bit of cash out of it.
I wonder what that's worth, 20-odd years of using a song.
Not sure whether they'll keep it going or they'll get a new song or what they'll do.
All right, that's what's making news around the place. Roo, soon we're going to get down to the RAH because there's been a terrible...
The new one?
I'm not sure yet, I'm confused, but we'll have both bases covered. A couple of people have been airlifted from Alice Springs with severe burns overnight. This happened at the Super Nats at the car racing up there in Alice Springs, and they've flown them down here because they're in a bad way. So we'll go down to the hospital and find out more. Also in a moment, I'm going to ask you about the buy over the weekend. Wayne Carey has come out and said he loves the bye.
Yep.
Other players, Lee Montagne is one who's announced his retirement, come out and said he hates the bye.
Yep.
Everyone's divided. I want your opinion on this in just
a moment. Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
All thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Roo, on a Monday morning, we like to have our open phone forum, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
Anyone can phone in.
Yeah, we encourage anyone to give us a call. Hello, good morning.
G'day, Ruined Tits. How you going?
Who is it?
It's Murray on the Murray.
Muzza!
Hiya, mate.
I'll tell you what, it was so boring up here in the Murray at the weekend because of the bye.
Yeah.
There is nothing to do. There is nothing to do.
Oh, come on, Murray. Read a book or something or spend time with the family.
I tell you what, the judge, he tried to start up a darts game and someone got a dart in the thigh and then there's nearly a blue.
Yeah.
But I'm not ringing up for an argument.
Why do you call him the judge, by the way?
Well, he used to work on the wharves and he was always sitting on a case.
So anyway,
I'm not ringing up for an argument. We're talking about the real estate, the game of footy. Like, there's always been the forward pocket, you know. Mm-hmm. Where did Kerry play? What was his position?
Oh, centre forward.
Thank you. Now, if you're playing the centre, what's that area called? That's the centre.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the old commentators going way back, there's a bit of real estate that's gone missing.
Mm,
we want
it?
To know where it's gone. Well, the commentators used to say, he's kicked it to no man's land.
Right. Where is that?
Where's that gone?
I don't know.
Where is no man's land?
Very good point.
Where's it gone? It's disappeared. Someone sold it. You know, no, real estate's worth a lot.
I think it's still there.
Is it no man's land?
If you listen to Triple M this week, and we promise we'll bring it back into the vernacular for you.
We reckon we should have no man's land back.
Right. No, good call, Murray. Thanks for that. All right, mate. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. 133353. Hello, good morning. Who's there?
It's me. I love the buy. I have never been so busy.
Helen.
Hindley Street was a buzz, literally.
What's it?
Can I just ask everyone next buy to make sure you book? There's no walk-ins. Just book, please. I'm exhausted. I want there to be a bye every week. Your appointment's this Wednesday, Christopher.
Thank you, Helen.
Did you have a big Father's Day, Helen?
No, she dropped off, Helen. She sounds a bit tired, doesn't
she's
she? She's a bit tuckered out.
She's cooked.
All right, who we got there next? Hello, good morning.
All right, g'day, boys. It's Tex.
Hey, Tex.
How are you, mate?
I reckon that Helen sounded exhausted, didn't she?
She didn't have a bite, did she, Tex?
Had no time to hang on and just gone on and got off.
Yeah, she's gone. Right.
Anyway.
What's going on, Tex?
Well, I heard a report. Sloane's only walking. He's doing a bit more than that. Yeah. He'll be all right.
You reckon he'll be all right?
He'll be all right. I just watched the women's footy.
No, I didn't actually.
I just kept hearing Tex Walker. I just got a bit edgy, you know.
Oh, Tex Perkins.
I had Tex, and I just got a bit edgy, like Jumpy.
Yeah.
So can they just come up with their own nicknames? Mm. I heard it on the background. Anyway, boys, would you have heard the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
No.
What's the difference?
The difference between a hippo and a Zippo, one's really heavy and the other's a little lighter.
Zippo.
All right, Tex, good on you,
boys.
We'll see you tomorrow, Tex.
Save your best till Thursday, Tex. And our last call, hello, good morning.
Hello, Rule Boy. Hello, Dip.
Hello, Tommy.
I am down here. I've been working hard, you know. I just put out a warning to everyone that comes down for the new Jade Imperial, Golden Moon, Dragon, Ritual, Peking Mandarin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had this little problem, you know. My cousin, his name Wei Tu Yang, he been over to Hong Kong. He brought back some dried mushroom from Hong Kong.
Right.
He brought him back. I just put out a warning to everyone. Mm. So some people that eat these mushrooms down at my restaurant get acute appendicitis from it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyone that come down, don't worry too much. It's just some people that happen, very fit people that get that.
Tommy.
So the Crow Boys have been down the restaurant.
That, you know Rory's, Sloane's out with appendix,
don't you? Which one here? He's the blonde boy?
He's the blonde boy, yeah.
Yeah, he come in. He was in about, 3 weeks ago. Right. We have a couple of close people in.
Mm.
But I not tell him not to worry too much.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
But anyway, you'll come down there.
Mm.
All right.
Not Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
That's a warning. You know, put it out there. One quick one.
Yeah.
I got a big tip from one of my customers for the Cox Plate. Cox Plate. You know, there's this horse called Winx. You'll put some money on it.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, good on you, Tommy.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruined Dits for breakfast on a Monday morning. Let's say hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Very, very well, good, thanks,
how
Mick.
How was your weekend? How was your Father's Day? We'll go you first. Dits, what'd you do?
I got locked in a room with my family. We did this mystery, you know, you got to get out. It's a murder mystery thing.
You had to use your brain.
Yeah, had to use all these clues, and fair to say we failed, and we had to I had to kick the door down to get out, to be honest. So we did a bit of damage.
What about you, Aru, with your 6 children out there? Surely it was just an avalanche of presents and attention.
I got
an 8-course meal in bed. What happened?
Yeah, I got an apron with a stubby holder lifter on it, opener, so I was happy with that. That was the best present I got from my 9-year-old son. A few cards and a few bits and pieces, a few jocks, things like that, a few socks. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I bought $67 worth of home delivery McDonald's, and me and the boys watched Scooby-Doo on Netflix.
Scooby-Doo.
It was a cracker.
Right.
And we called each other the Three Muchachos,
yeah.
And that's how we referred to each other all day.
Muchacho.
the little Muchachos.
So how old are
they
now?
23. No, they're five. They're five-year-old twin boys. Oh. Yeah, I'm grooming them. To
Aren't
grow
you
up
bringing them up the right way?
In my lifestyle, which is to get them on the couch. Mm. I'm going to get them down to beat my 43 steps in one calendar day.
43.
hey, guys, I'm a bit overexcited. I'm a bit overstimulated. Because you realise four sleeps to go. Only four more sleeps before the Tigers play Geelong. Unless you're Matthew Richardson, then there's possibly one sleep to go. He's had his baby.
He did have a baby girl. That's his first child, isn't it?
That's his first child. And luckily for us, we don't have the Chinese one-child policy, or we may have had to think again. We're going to get a boy down the pike. We need another key forward, but congratulations to Matthew Richardson and family. What a great day. And
can I just say, the little baby girl, if she watches a bit of footage of her dad, she'll learn how to throw a tantrum and, you know, spit the dummy.
Hey, congratulations on keeping Dusty too. We haven't spoke to you since then, Mick.
Dusty's back. The Tigers are looking good, mate.
Mm.
The Tigers on the G, as I've said, three on the G. That's all we have to do.
three on the G.
Three on the G.
That rhymes with three on the tree, doesn't it?
Mm. And that is the Tigers home and hosed, and it's neck tattoos for everybody.
Are you talking premierships yet?
Look, let's not get too. I've got my premiership tattoo, but as of yet, hey, did you watch any of the EJ Witten?
No, a little bit.
I did actually, a little bit.
Well, I commentated it.
Oh, did you?
Sorry, Mick, we missed that.
Sorry, Mick.
I got stuck into. Well, my primary job was to get stuck into Luke Darcy, which I think you're.
What was his gloves thing? What was he doing with that?
Oh, I don't know. Checking the prostate of every other player. I would guess that's how old some of them were. You know what they look like to me? You know, you're looking at former great footballers running around, and I'm looking at them, and they didn't look right. And as I was looking at them, you know what it looked like to me? Like they all had, every player out there had a peanut allergy. Had just eaten a peanut.
What happens when you have a peanut?
You puff up. You get all puffy and swollen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it looked to me. It looked like someone should have brushed out an EpiPen.
Yeah, well, it is tough
and got them all back to how they used to look back
now,
in the day.
Can I just allude you to a story? I said to Roo earlier, you know, I mean, I've been to the Alma with Roo before and, you know, $120 all you can drink and eat on a day. Sure. You know, I've had those sort of days out. And I said,
I've run up a bar bill at his joint.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
keep
only
going.
About 200, but 200.
Bernard Tomic, $50,000. How do you do that?
I wish he'd paid it in one of those giant checks that they give to tennis players, you know, when they win a tournament. This guy, he just keeps giving, doesn't he? You're sitting there watching that and you're going, this guy will be broke within 2 years of retiring from this game. $50,000 at a nightclub for 25 of his mates.
Don't think he's got Ross Greenwood as his financial advisor, is
he? No, he doesn't. And I was surprised to learn he had 25 mates.
So, you got to buy
them. Either way, it is showing off. Could you ever see, you know, Sedgman, Rosewell, going out afterwards, cutting out a big check, jumping in a hot tub full of strippers? Her times have changed.
Oh, Kenny Rosewell, wasn't he crazy?
Kenny Rosewell, mate, he used to go on three-day benders. He used to turn up nude, wandering in from the desert. What happened? Whoa, big night.
Kenny Rosewell used to, his decision would be by having English breakfast tea or Earl Grey. I think that was as bad as it got.
What about on the squash circuit? Who was the bad boy? Who was the bad boy? Who was the guy on the edge, living it up, you used to worry about?
Khan brothers.
Unfortunately, it was me.
Threw a party for all his friends once. Cost $800.
That's right.
It was at the Crazy Horse.
And I couldn't pay.
But gee, it was good.
Yeah. Good on you, Mick. Enjoy the build up to the big final.
Come on, Tigers. Talk
to you Thursday.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point! Pressure point! Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Pressure test time. Let's start the week off in the right way, Roo.
Let's go to Selex Beach. G'day, Warren.
G'day, Mark. How are you, Dix? And Mark, how are you, boys?
Very good, thank you. You had a good weekend?
Not too bad, mate. Pretty quiet. So looking forward to the boys getting up on Thursday night and the black, white and teals doing the same soon after, eh?
Oh, good on you, Woz. Happy South Australian.
Do your best, mate.
What are you up to today?
Mark, we're going to cruise around, try and avoid getting pneumonia and maybe drop off a few deliveries here and there and keep a few people happy. Fingers crossed.
What sort of deliveries do you do?
Just general sort of ad hoc stuff, mate. Yeah,
okay, so right. Stolen goods.
Yeah, it could be a telly, it could be a hippopotamus. Who knows?
All right.
Why not ask any questions?
Warren, we'd love to help you win $1,000 here. Now, this is topical.
Yes.
In 30 seconds, name 10 hospitals.
Okay, we've got St. Michael's, we've got Brisbane Hospital, Melbourne Hospital, Adelaide Hospital, Perth Hospital, Hobart Hospital. We've got the St. Jude's in London, St. Anne's in London. Mm-hmm. We've got the Mercy Hospital in New York, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mount Sinai in Los Angeles.
Good.
How are we going? Maybe one more. We've got the Royal Perth Hospital as well. Maybe I've already said that.
Righto, Warren.
Now, righto, Warren. Now, Roo, Warren's not going to like me for saying this, but I think you had to say Royal Adelaide Hospital, Royal Sydney Hospital.
This is your decision. This is your call, because you have a go at me when I have funny little pressure test topics.
Yeah, you get stuck with him, Mark. Good man. You're a good gem, mate.
All right. Let's quickly go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Correct.
Warren. Now, I don't want to be controversial, but Warren, we've got to let you go, and I'll tell you why, Roo. We've got to go straight to our foreign minister here. We'll come back to Warren later and just verify that, but it's very good of Julie Bishop to join us at this time this morning because she is taking calls right around the nation. Foreign Minister, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Triple M, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning.
Obviously, as far as the world is concerned at the moment, we are facing, some very hard decisions to make, I would have thought, between us and the US and Japan and South Korea. I mean, this guy seems to be a bit out of control.
Well, most certainly this latest test appears to be exponentially more powerful than previous tests by North Korea, and it's a very dangerous and serious escalation. We can't verify whether or not it was a hydrogen bomb, but nevertheless it was a much more powerful weapon than in past tests. And we all know that these ballistic missile and nuclear weapons tests have been banned by the UN Security Council, and so this is just the latest of many direct challenges to the authority of the Security Council. So North Korea will have to pay a significant price for its defiance of the Security Council, and that means the entire international community must strictly enforce economic sanctions against it.
We've already said that, though, haven't we? When are we actually? When's he going to stop? What's he trying to prove? What's he trying to achieve out of what he's been doing for the last few months?
Well, what he wants to do is advance his country's illegal capabilities and test the resolve of our region and the international community. And that's why we need a collective approach across the international community and impose really tough, comprehensive sanctions against North Korea to block access to finance so it can't fund these illegal weapons. So
who's going to do that, though, Julie? Who are we waiting for to do something here? Is it China, is it?
Well, China is the most significant economic partner for North Korea. China has backed the tough, comprehensive package of sanctions, but there's more we can do. And I know that the United States is looking at broader sanctions, and I feel sure that China and indeed Russia know that this will get out of control unless they take a very firm stand now to compel North Korea to change its behaviour and deter it from carrying out any more tests.
Foreign Minister, I know a lot of this information would be classified, but have you yourself been on the phone overnight to China? Are you talking to their foreign minister on a daily basis?
We are talking constantly to friends and partners in the region, and we will continue to do so at every level.
Is South Korea under serious threat at the moment?
Well, South Korea is mere kilometres away from the North Korean border, and of course any tensions on the Korean Peninsula directly affect South Korea. South Korea is an ally of the United States, and of course the United States has said that should any of its partners and allies be under direct attack, the United States would respond. I mean, this is a very serious escalation of a very tense situation, and North Korea is a threat to regional and global peace and security, so it's vital that all nations enforce the penalties and the isolation of North Korea as mandated by the UN Security Council.
Yeah, Julie Bishop, we know you have to go. Thank you so much for taking our call. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Ruan Ditts.
Good Cheers. On you. Well done. Our Foreign Minister, Anru, I know we're talking about the North Korean situation. I find her really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She does a great job.
Yep, she does.
What would you be doing right now? None of us are. But as a citizen, we're all voters and we all worry about
I'd
the world.
I'd be putting it on the people who've got the most power to shut them down, and that's China. And
China.
If they don't do it, well, then you've got to come up with the best of the worst.
Military force has to be the last resort, doesn't it?
Well, what's he gone from and where he's at now? So what's next?
Mm.
What's going to... He's obviously on a... Almost like he's on a mission to do something really nasty. Mm. Let's hope someone can get to him and shut him down soon.
All right, it's 7:13. Ruan Ditts for breakfast on this Friday morning on Monday, which I wish it was Friday. That was wishful thinking.
The Crows have had a win.
On this Monday morning, it's Ruan Ditts.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shang Chandra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Triple M. Ruan Ditts here, thanks to Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella. Massive week, huge week of footy, Roo. We've got both our sides here in home finals, which is very, very exciting. Crows take on GWS Thursday.
Yeah, we welcome Crows coach Don Pike. Good morning, Pikey.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we going?
Happy Father's Day for yesterday. Did you get spoilt?
Oh, not really. I had a bit of FaceTime with the girls in Perth. Unfortunately, not in Adelaide at the moment. So spent about an hour on the phone with them yesterday, which is good.
The wife look after you?
Yeah, she did. She always does, Roo. You know that.
Yeah, well, I heard a sort of funny story about that, actually, that you might have been her caddy lately on the golf course and you gave her a bit of advice and she didn't like it too much.
She played some penance for Kayonga going back a couple of months, and I was out in the bag on a few Sundays. It wasn't she didn't like the advice. It was I was trying to be helpful, Roo.
Is it right that you've been sacked?
No, I haven't been sacked.
Oh, come on.
No, Mike, I'm Integra.
You sure?
Yes, very sure.
All right, I've got a bit
I know.
You know, I know. So whether you've blocked your ears
now,
or not.
What are you playing off these days, Don?
I'm on one now. I've drifted out a little bit.
And what drifted out? And what's she playing off?
She's on about nine, I think.
Gee, that's good golf, isn't it? Very good, yeah.
Hey, let's get on to the footy. Yeah, Thursday night's huge. There's a big expectation that the Crows need to improve and go deeper into September this year. It gets underway Thursday, and a couple of interesting ones. First, Rory Sloan. We heard he walked laps and he's still a bit sore yesterday. Is he a chance of playing still, Pikey?
Yeah, look, he's still a chance to play. It's a matter of seeing how quickly the operation settles down, and obviously we'll be guided by how he's feeling, but also by the surgeon and the doctor's view on what the risk might be. So, but it's only Monday. We've got till Thursday night, so he's keen to keep pushing on. So we'll see how close he can get.
Are you more or less optimistic from the other day when he had the operation, do you think?
It's a funny one, because I remember with Eddie, when Eddie had it, I looked at him about 5 days out thinking, oh, he's probably a very small chance, and he came quick, he came good really quickly after he started moving. So I'm optimistic, but that's how I operate. I tend to be pretty optimistic on these things.
Yep.
Pike, I want to ask you a hard one, but unfortunately you have to face it this week, and the club's been through something similar before, but Sam Jacobs, devastating, lost his brother late last week. The emotion of handling that this week, because it's very important for your club to win, but we're talking, a game of football as opposed to someone losing their brother here. I don't know if you... and look, none of us are very, very experienced in this. I don't know what's right, what's wrong, but it's just another thing that you have to handle this week, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's the tragedy of that last week, and unfortunately for the source and his family, and then they're dealing with the loss of a loved one and a brother and a son, and, we... we're supporting sources as best we can for that. I mean, it's one of those tragic life events which happen outside of footy, and as much as you know, our focus is on what's going to happen Thursday night. This is another example of the fact we've got to deal with things that happen in life of our players and our coaches and everyone else that just makes being part of a footy club one of the great things, because Source has now got all the support that we can offer him as he sort of him and his family deal with this tough times.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it right that the funeral is going to be Friday, Pikey?
That's the indication at the moment, yeah.
Okay. Walker, Talia and Greenwood, we've heard are fit to go, with Talia back. Obviously, you got Hardigan, Lever and Keith. Unlikely to play all four. You've got a tough decision to make there for the first time for a while in terms of the tools.
There's going to be some decisions we've got to make at selection across all the lines, to be honest. With Tex coming back in as a captain and a forward and Tails as a back, Greenwood as a midfield option, there's probably going to be a couple of unlucky players which will get squeezed at the end of selection. That's an unfortunate byproduct of what we do, but it's also a good thing, if you like, from a club viewpoint, because it means we've got real challenge and depth for spots, and that's what we're going to need for not only this game, but as we progress through the finals.
GWS, interesting team, aren't they? Obviously chock-a-block full of young talent, and when they're at their best, they're great to watch and they're fantastic, but they've been off the boil at times this year. They've still made the top four, so they've done a lot of things right. What's your take on them at the moment?
Oh, I think they're a very good footy team. I mean, as I said last week, I think in an interview, there's the reality is the end of the season, there was 2 points separated top spot and fourth, which is, in the context of 22 games, is not a massive jump. They got, as you said, they got a highly talented group. I think the thing they've been able to do really well this year is maintain a level of form and still being winning games of footy when they've had some injuries and some guys who have sort of been in and out of the team. So, but looking at their list, I'm sitting there looking at their magnets now. They've got some strength on every line. So we know their capability. Important we come out and focus on what we need to do and really bring that come Thursday night.
All right. Keep looking at those magnets. We'll give you a little break just for a minute or two more with Don Pike in just a moment. Roo, I've got a very tough political question to ask you.
He's capable.
Hard hitting, all right? More with Don Pike in just a moment.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined It's for Breakfast. Don Pike, Adelaide Crows coach, is on the line. A big, big week coming up to Thursday night. Big build-up to the final. Now, Pikey, you're a Western Australian, obviously. Where do you sit on Wax It?
Wax It.
Wax It. Please explain.
Have you heard about it?
Look, it's not a new women's salon that's coming out.
I thought it was where you went to get your bikini line done. Wax It. You're all different over there in the West. There's a bunch of wacky politicians. Now, this came up about 20 years ago. They want to secede from the rest of Australia. They want Western Australia to become its own, I don't know, nation or something, and give the rest of us the Tijuana brass. Now, are you of that thinking or not? Does WA need to be its own little country?
I wouldn't have thought so. I'm not sure if it's got much momentum, the Wax It movement in Perth.
I'm telling you, the Liberal Party, Google it this morning, and because you'll find that next time you go back there, you might need a passport or something, I don't know. But they are pushing strongly. They're upset with the way they're getting treated by the rest of us.
Away from Canberra, they reckon they're getting left alone, not getting their GST like they should be, Pikey, so they're not happy.
You could be the next Prime Minister over there or something when you get home.
Oh, we'll wait and see. Obviously, there's some political push to. I imagine it's based on trying to get a higher share of some of the revenue they think they're entitled to. But anyway.
All right. So you're not up on that one.
No, we'll leave that one alone. What do you think is the key to beat GWS, Pikey? They're, obviously, their speed through their midfield, and that is one of their strengths. Is there anything in particular that you're worried about?
Oh, look, I mean, they're a well-rounded side, and we understand that. And we move into the finals campaign with some some positivity around how we're bound to play throughout the season. And I think the ultimate challenge is to make sure we bring that, and we bring that at a level from a contest viewpoint. Because finals generally is about contested ball, and it's the conditions look like they're going to be a bit similar to what we're experiencing today with some wind and some rain. And the contest is really the key focus. I mean, that's the area whereby you're able to not only win your share, but get pressure on the opposition, and from there, other things can sort of develop.
Yeah, I think we're a wet track side. I said to Ditz, if we're a horse, we'd have a W next to the Crows because they played well in the wet. One of the areas that people get a little bit antsy about is the start. We've had a couple of slow starts, the Crows. How have you handled that chatting to the boys? Do you play a different style of football at the start of the game in finals, given the intensity similar to what it was against Sydney? Or
yeah, look, I think you know the start. I think the start against West Coast, we were around the mark after about 10 minutes and then yep. we fell away. But our pressure on that particular day, I think we had 5 tackles for the quarter and you know, it wasn't certainly the way we want to either start games or even play games at all. So, in the Sydney game, they did jump a little bit early. So, look, the start becomes important, especially, you know, in a final game. We want to settle early and make sure that we're in the contest. And we've had a conversation understanding the importance of that, and especially with finals. And it's an exciting time of the year, and this is what we play for. So yep. you know, we've given ourselves a great opportunity, and come Thursday night we get a chance to take another step.
Fantastic, Pikey. Thanks for your time in a very, very busy week, and good luck Thursday night. Good luck for the rest of the finals.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Now, I'll just let you know, just so you can some weekend reading when you're not looking at those magnets. The Waxit policy motion, it was put forward by the Brand Division in the Liberal State Conference yesterday in Western Australia.
So there's a bit of what was the vote?
They passed this vote motion 89-73. So there's a bit of information for you, Pikey, to read up on.
Okay. All right. Well, post season, I'll do my homework on Waxit and see how it works.
Well, as I said, I wonder what they'd call Western Australia if it was to change, you know, and become a new nation. Interesting.
Western Australia,
I suppose. I don't know. Anyway, good luck this week, Pikey.
See you, Pikey.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Well done.
See you, guys.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast, 7:16. Now, Ru, we started a tradition here on this show, going back about 3 years ago. We want to expose tight asses everywhere.
Absolutely.
Right? We have Tight Ass Tuesday. And invariably, someone gets dobbed in because they avoid buying their rounds. Don't mm-hmm. they?
Yep, they
it's
do.
It's all about shouting beers. Un-Australian and tight asses we don't like. Anyway, there was an article over the weekend on this very topic, Roo.
There was. Australian drinkers are fed up with people being stingy and drawing the short straw, and they want to do something about it. They're just sick of people getting into shouts, knowing full well that they're not going to fulfil their obligation of buying their part of the round.
Mm.
And there's up to 50% of people reckon they get stitched when they get in a round.
Hang on, I just need to write that down, because next time I need to say to Kate, I have to fulfil my obligation.
Exactly right.
When she says to me, why can't you come home now? And I say, I'm in a shout.
That's right. And it's got.
But she thinks I'm joking and I'm making it up. That's right. No. But, and for all the ladies out there, you think we're joking. This is actually serious, because you do not. There's a couple of rules that I definitely live by, Roo. One is, let's say Kate rings me and says, I need you home, or when will you be home? I'll say to her, yeah, I'm just in a shout. And she goes, well, what does that mean? You can leave. No, I can't. Let's say there's 6 of us and I'm on my 3rd beer.
Yeah, so you haven't bought yet?
Yeah, that's right. You have to buy. You do not leave.
But right. Not everyone does it. That's what annoys people.
But you know these rules though, Roo, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
You know that, hang on, I've got my 5 best mates here, there's 6 of us. I've been bought a couple of beers. I'm now in this round. I don't leave until I've completed the round.
Now, the only way you can get out and please Kate and please everyone there is by buying.
Buy the round and leave.
And then say, guys, I'm going to buy this round and I'm going to go.
Now, they'll still frown upon you. They'll say, hang on, we're here for a round of beers.
You're making us look
bad. Unless it's an emergency, in which case you can say, I will buy the next one because I have to go. But you do not leave if you haven't bought. And the other rule
is that you don't go in the shout.
Yes, if you know you can't stay.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're only having 1 beer or 2 beers and you don't go into a shout of 6.
So sometimes you walk in knowing your mates are at the pub. Again, to the ladies listening, we're just trying to help you here, educate. And I'm trying to educate the tight asses too, by the way, the men.
Oh, they know.
You walk in and there's the 6 blokes and you say, no, I'll get mine. I can only stay for 1.
That's right.
Thanks, fellas.
And if the bloke wants to buy him one just because he wants to, well, then it's up to him.
But You always say, sorry, I'm only staying for 1, I'll get mine.
Yep.
Otherwise,
but the tight asses of the world, when someone goes to the bar and says, right, I'm going, you know, anyone want a drink? The tight asses say, yep, I'll have one. But they know they're not going to be there for that whole time, don't they? That's when they really, that's the sort of stuff they love to hear, don't they?
And there's the other sneaky tight ass, Roo, and there's one or two in my little group, but we tell them. They always buy last.
Right.
And you might say, okay. Oh, but they still bite. No, no, no. They're banking.
What are they hoping for?
A couple might go home. So there might be a couple that
they
say,
might
oh,
save
I
a
stay.
Bit.
So they think, oh, there's six of us. I'll only buy four beers in the end.
Right, and you really, do you nearly have to get them in a headlock and drag them
well,
to the bar
you do because
to buy it, those
when,
ones?
When they do it every single time, you do start to put, a, bit, right. put a bit of shit on them. Yeah.
Right, get your wallet out, you.
Yeah. How about you go first this time?
Yeah, that's right. Because you nearly have to start the second round to flush them out. That's how much they try and hide, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they the ones that usually in the toilet? At that time?
No, they're the word. No, no, no. They're the ones that just don't buy.
They go high.
Oh, this is another level again, right?
Now, you know, well, they've done a runner.
I won't name and shame here, but there's a couple of prominent people I could name here where we're talking not just buying beers, we're talking a big lunch bill. And the bill comes.
What, they won't?
They're
not
the
even
dunny.
There to split it.
No, they're in the dunny. And they think they get away with it. They think they're smart, but they don't get away with it. We know who they are.
All right. You want to take some calls on rules and
shouts?
What
are the rules? What are the rules? We've hit you with a couple of the rules, big rules.
Are there any other rules?
Well, different groups of people out there in their own little group have different rules.
Yep.
Or I want to know how you front the tight ass, who's your real, real close mate. How do you expose him? What do you do?
Yep.
Because we need to know.
I find embarrassment's a good way of doing it. Yeah. Like really give it to them.
Yeah.
Because they need to. They know that what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 133353.
What are the rules?
Let's go to Glenside. Richard, what are your rules?
Hi, Rudits. We meet at the first Friday of each month, a whole lot of guys we used to go to school with.
Yep.
And what we do, we put a dish in the middle, and as soon as you arrive, you put 20 bucks in. So if you get there nice and early, that usually lasts you about 2 hours because the guys that come at 6:15 usually don't have their four or five. So that's the best way of doing it. And then if you do run out, you just have another quarter, $10 or.
But what if you're there early and you've been there for 3 hours and you've only put 20 in?
Well, that's what, you're right. You get by. You get by. You know?
So
you're
good luck for getting there early.
Like Friday, we went last, we go to the Britannia, and then we got, about 20 to 5. So we just put 20 in, and then they come at 5, 10 past 5. And it's by the end, you got a lot of, and there was 15 of us or something on.
Wow.
So the guys that come at 6, 15 past, usually don't have their fill. So we had $11 left over to
early
go to the
bird.
At the end of the year. Yeah.
Right. That encourages
the
early. That's
Roo,
good.
I like this. And in fact, recently I had a golf trip that I went to. There were 16 of us, and that's the
Did
best
you take
way
your
to
sticks?
Do it. No. But that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Put in, like you said, 20 bucks each. Or have a treasurer. Someone holds the kitty.
Yeah, they're dodgy too.
No, you've always picked the right person. You've got to select it.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen though, does it?
Yeah.
Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Ben.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Ben. What's your rules?
Less of a rule, more just of a another way that a sneaky guy used to get away with it.
Right.
He would offer to buy the first round, but he would be drinking spirits. And he'd buy everybody else a beer, and then because he doesn't drink beer at all, every single round that you get him,
right.
You're buying him spirits.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, isn't it, Dits?
Yeah.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah, but aren't they evening up now? Like a pint of beer now, what, $8.50 or $9?
Oh, yeah, it can be dearer than
that.
All
right, what is a spirit, like a Bacardi
and
Coke cost?
Yeah, during the day, not dissimilar. No.
So it's all evened out a little bit.
Yeah, if you're drinking pints, if you're not drinking schooners, like the old days, which everyone's drinking pints mainly, so, yep.
But anyway, I just want to reiterate to the lovely Kate and to all the wives listening out there, if I'm in around or your husband's in around, you don't leave until
you get your money's worth.
Paid your way.
Fair enough.
Got your money's worth, but also got to make sure you've
paid your way, yeah.
You got to share.
Because you're not one of those ones who buy early, are you?
No.
That's right.
No.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
10 degrees outside, only 13 today, and some showers as well.
And if that's about throwing a spanner in the works of shifting over to the new hospital, Dits.
Well, we went down to the new RAR about a month ago, right? Because we were told that the first patients were arriving for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened. Drew, it would be bedlam down at North Terrace this morning. There will be people everywhere, lights flashing, sirens
hang
going
on,
off.
Hang
first
on.
Morning of the new RAH. I'll bet there are people queuing up to get treated. And there'll be doctors everywhere, nurses running around late for work on their first special day. Let's go down to our man on the spot, Andrew Hayes. Hazy, good morning. What's happening down there?
Good morning, boys. Believe it or not, not much. Absolutely nada. Like, who has a doctor's appointment at 6:40 a.m?
So we had a bit of a false start on that occasion. But today it's really happening, I promise you. Let's go down to Channel 7's Mike Smithson. Smitho, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Dits. I'm glad you're not running the operation this morning down here. It's a disaster.
Yeah, now, is it bedlam down there? Is there plenty going on?
There's plenty going on at the old RAH. I'm just watching an ambulance pull out at the moment with a patient in it, doing a quick U-turn onto North Terrace, and away he goes down to the new RAH.
Right.
So it's started. It's well and truly on. 130 patients being shifted today, 16 ambulances, 100 staff. And Roslyn Katsikas was the first patient to be wheeled out, and then she looked a little startled to see about 200 cameras and the minister. All she wanted, I think, was a bedpan rather than all of us.
But she had her best nightie on.
Well, I'm not sure it was her best one, but it was a nightie, yes. Right, she was rugged up because it is bitterly cold down here, I can tell you that much. Not an ideal day to be transferring patients. Just be warmer going to Antarctica, I reckon, but it's a big operation, and we can't understate just how big this is for the ambulance service. It's basically got its full fleet either on standby for any emergency that happens, and what's left over, and I'm talking, you know, big numbers of people brought on especially to transfer people out. So the old emergency section at the RAH is clear because that's where incoming ambulances go, but just over the path, so to speak, over the roadway, they're loading people in about every 4 minutes and taking them down to the new hospital. So big activity.
When do people start going to the new one if they are crook, like if they panic and going to drive somewhere? When do they start going to the new one? Tomorrow?
Not today. Let me stress.
Yeah, where do they go? The old one?
You go business as usual at the old emergency section today, but as of 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, this closes up, and they're actually putting fencing along North Terrace just so people think if they turn up here, you can't get in. Mm. There'll be people here to tell them, go down to the new one. Mm. But the big fear is, I guess, for authorities, that people just go down there to have a look because it's pretty impressive. They don't want that either. You've got to be genuinely sick to go down there. Mm. So tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. So by Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon, all patients, even the most critically ill, and they'll all have a special intensive care person with them in the ambulance the whole way. But come Wednesday afternoon, she's all shut up shop here, and you'll know it's shut when the canteen's closed downstairs and the last toasted sandwich goes out the door.
Mm.
Then it's all over and it's all systems go at the new hospital.
Are you as excited as Jack Snelling? I think he's got 6 kids and he felt like he'd had a 7th one yesterday when he opened it. Is it that much to look forward to? Is it as good as what Labor are making it sound?
Well, that's a politically charged comment from Jack Snelling. It's a very impressive building, and it's for $2.3 billion, you hope it would be. But what it does, it signals that, yes, we can do it, and we've done it well. And there have been critics along the way, but the people who have put it together, you know, you think, where do you start shifting a health service, your major public and teaching hospital in town? It's not operating one day and it is the next. It's a big operation to get going in 24 or 48 hours. So all credit to all involved.
Yeah. Good on you, Smitho. We'll see your report tonight on 7 News at 6 o'clock. Mike Smithson. Roo, in a moment, our Monday phone-in. We're also going to talk to Julie Bishop. We'll hear from Julie Bishop. We spoke to her earlier today. This situation in North Korea, what happened over the weekend, is just ridiculous. So we'll get to that in just a moment.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, the buy round. We've just had, I had nothing to do on the weekend. I was lost. For those of us that are so shallow that football runs our world, I don't know if we're shallow, but that's, I'm lost without it.
Everyone's anticipating a great final series and just wanted it to keep on rolling after the last few rounds of the season. But it's sort of good to have a weekend off to get away and do a few other things. And certainly for the people who work in the industry, whether it's, production people or commentators or whatever, I'm sure they'd love a weekend away before another big month, and I'm sure a lot of the players enjoy it as well, just freshening up.
Now, Roo, tell me, I've obviously missed something here because everyone seems to say within football, I mean the actual players and within clubs, they don't like the bye, they don't want it. Why? And I heard people say last year, the Western Bulldogs wouldn't have won if they didn't have the bye.
Yeah.
Why are some teams disadvantaged? I don't understand.
I don't think they say they don't don't think it helps them early, like now, because everyone gets a gain out of having the weekend off because they freshen up and, you know, they can, because they've had a long year already, so they'll definitely feel better this week, no doubt about it. But the disadvantages potentially to the top four sides that win this weekend. So if you use Adelaide GWS as an example, they've already had they'll have a 10 or 11 day break before they play. Mm-hmm. And then if whoever wins that game doesn't, and then they miss the weekend when the other sides play, and then they miss the next week because they get the advantage and then they play the week after. So effectively they've only played one game in almost a month, which they don't do that at any other stage of the year. So then it becomes a bit of a risk with the training program that you put in place, which they've never had to navigate through before. So the disadvantages to the top four sides that win, whereas for always before, it's been if you can win this week as a top four side and get a week off, then you get all those benefits that everyone enjoyed last weekend.
Yeah, right. You've explained that well. Now, over the weekend, I heard Lee Montagne, who's announced his retirement. He is one player that came out and said, I don't like the bye. I've heard so many players say, I don't like it. Yet, arguably, the best player in our era, Wayne Carey, said this.
Yes, I do like the bye round. I know that everyone else, a lot of people don't like it. I like what you're going to get in a couple of weeks is the best quality games that you can imagine, because they're fresh and they're ready to go. And in some cases, players come back into that side, those sides that obviously make them stronger. So that's what I like about it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we just said. So last year, as an example, Western Bulldogs, who finished seventh, got four players back that wouldn't have played in that first week. They probably would have got knocked out, I would say. Mm-hmm. They probably hate people saying that, but they would have probably got knocked out in the first week of finals last year under the old system, and they went on to win it. First side outside the top four to win the flag since this system come in 1999 or 2000, I think it was. So small sample size. Let's wait and see what happens this year.
And just on that, look, the AFL to me has to start listening to its constituents, to the people involved in the game. And I know that Gillon McLachlan, it would be easy for him at the end of the year to say, oh, crowds are up, TV ratings are up, revenue's up, and they always keep quoting that. But if you don't look at the things that are wrong, you won't stay up forever. And the other, I want to just go off and talk about match review panel.
Can we go back to the bye just quickly? Because I've always said they should have two byes in season, one about round 10 and one about round 18. And that's what the players have wanted for ages. And then you wouldn't rest players during the year. You'd just give them the week off then. But if we didn't have that bye last weekend, the Crows would have rested Tex, Talia, probably Sloan last week against that game over in Perth, which is fine. And they earned the right to do that because they're in a position where they had nothing to gain. So it would have handed West Coast an easier victory, and which would have pushed Melbourne out.
Yeah.
That's why they brought in the bye. As it turned out, Talia and Tex didn't play anyway.
Well, as I was saying, the AFL at the end of the season need to listen to everyone in the game about the bye, about the match review panel, and about umpiring.
Yeah, they've I think they will.
They've got to stop saying, oh, no, the game's in great shape. It's never been better. They've got to look at things that aren't right.
Yeah, I think they're always trying to get it right, but they make some calls that perhaps they get wrong.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think. 104.7 Triple M.